Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Morbid early and ad-free. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
You're listening to a Morbid Network podcast.
Travel's great, but planning for travel can be time-consuming and difficult. That's where One Travel comes in. With One Travel, you'll find everything you need to book the perfect trip. Flights, hotels, cars, transportation, it's all right there. With One Travel, you can book online, via app, or even pick up the phone and talk to a travel advisor ready to help you make your selections. Visit onetravel.com or call 877-290-1880. Plan it, book it, live it. One Travel. It was almost the perfect crime. Stacks of cold, hard cash sitting on the table, unguarded. Who wouldn't be tempted to slowly reach their hand out and steal? A pile of Monopoly money from the banker. Monopoly is one of those games that can bring out our most devious selves, and Monopoly Go takes that gleeful mischievousness to your phone in a wildly popular twist on the classic that you can play anywhere, anytime. Collect rent from friends on iconic properties, bankrupt them by pulling a heist on their vault, even use a wrecking ball to shut down their monuments. And Monopoly Go has timed tournaments where you can team up with friends to unlock big prizes and try to top the leaderboards. Whether you're helping out your friends or going head-to-head for riches, Monopoly Go is an absolute blast. Go download it now free on the App Store or Google Play.
New season means new seasonal recipes, and now it's easier than ever. With fresh ingredients delivered right to your door, HelloFresh brings the farmer's market to you. Get 16 free meals plus 3 free gifts with code MORBID16 at HelloFresh.com/MORBID16.
Hey, weirdos. I'm Elena.
I'm Ash.
And this is Morbid.
So by today's title, I'm sure you can tell that we're going to be in a spooky-ooky zone.
Yeah.
And apparently the world also wants us to be in a spooky-ooky zone as well.
Or several worlds. Who knows?
Yeah. Which world is it?
Which world wants that?
I'm not sure. I like that. Which world wants which?
Who wants it?
Because we're sitting here in the pod lab, like, earlier, and just kind of, like, adding our finishing touches to these little creepy-ass stories. And we're just sitting here in silence, and, like, it's a pretty windy day, like, to be fair. But I don't know how often wind causes vibration.
No, especially, like, through closed walls and doors and windows.
Not usually. So if you follow us on TikTok, we have this picture of, like, a bunch of ladies. We think they're witches.
They look like goddessy, witchy.
Yeah.
Just women.
And they've all joined hands and they're dancing around a tree. It's great. That's same vibes. Like,
very
that's why we
vibes.
Picked them.
Yeah.
We see ourselves in them.
Yeah.
So, that picture just started vibrating on the wall of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 other photos.
That did not vibrate. Only that one. And it was vibrating and we sat there and we're like,
What's that noise?
And we're like going over to the equipment, like the electrical equipment, being like, is it something like static?
Like electrical.
Something electrical? Are these breaking out of nowhere? Like what's going on?
Like, oh, fuck.
And then I just started inching toward, I was like, nope. It's this picture.
Yeah, because you know I made that bitch get up. I'm not getting up.
Yeah, I was like, I'll go figure it out. And it was violently vibrating on the wall until I touched it and then it stopped.
I wouldn't have touched it.
Because you saw that, right?
No, I
literally
put
my finger on it and it stopped vibrating.
I know.
And it has not vibrated since. And it is directly behind me right now. And
I mean, at least it's like, I like looking at it. It's a beautiful photo, but now I'm a little freaked out by it.
Like, I feel like I should put up a picture on like
our Insta
of how this is actually right behind me.
Well, so then, okay. So we were like, shit's getting weird. I was like, we should totally sage after we're done with this episode. But I have like the actual sage itself and it's at my house. So Elena was like, oh, I have a sage candle. And I was like, perfect, go get that shit and hurry back because I don't want to sit in here alone for too long.
Please don't make me.
So she comes back with the sage candle and we're like setting up, getting ready to record whatever. And I like leaned forward a little bit. So my face was like kind of closer to the candle, which like, don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't try that at home. But all of a sudden the candle was like,
Yeah, it made a so much so that not one part of me thought it was the candle who made that.
She thought it was me.
I thought it was Ash just doing some, because like, Ash makes noises and I make noise. Like, we'll do stupid shit. So yeah. I was like, oh, she's just like acting like a snake or something. I don't you know. Were
like, she's just doing her. See, over don't there.
Just be an Ash. So I was like, why'd you? I literally go, why did you do that?
And I jumped. I don't know if you saw me, but yeah. I jumped. And you looked at me and you're like, why'd you do that? And I was like, because that scared the shit out of me. Because I thought you meant, why did you jump?
Yeah.
And I was like, because I got scared. And you were like, oh, what was that noise? Is that not you?
Yeah.
And I was like, no, ma'am.
That was the candle. Letting us know, I don't know what, but
maybe sucking up some energy in this room. It was like,
tss. I hope it was. It was like, oh, let me catch that. Like a little bug zapper.
Is this weird? I feel like my hair should be down. I feel like when my hair is down, I feel a little more protected because my neck is covered.
I get
covered.
That because your neck is covered.
Yeah, sorry if I look like Lord Farquaad, but it is what it is. I'm in a really weird time of growing up hair. Do you know what I mean?
Of course.
Because my hair is at such an in-between length right now.
So is mine.
So I just feel like Lord Farquaad when it's down. And I have I'm growing out bangs in a middle part. So it's a fucking situation in here, guys.
Funny. I don't know why. Just such a casual Lord Farquaad reference drop,
you know?
Oh, man.
Sorry if I look like a founding father. I guess I would have to have my ponytail in for that.
Though. Yeah, you would.
But yeah, you look great.
Thanks. And you're protected.
So yeah, maybe. Don't.
I think you are.
Don't tempt.
I'm the one with the picture directly behind my ass.
Well, maybe it has good vibrations.
I feel okay. So I'm just going to go with it.
Good vibration.
That just makes me think of Catfish, the movie. When they play that song
over, I know.
And it got creepy after that. I was wow, that song's really creepy.
I love when movies will do that, play a very uplifting song.
Ruin a song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and I love ruin that. It. You could never ruin the Beach Boys, though, try as you might.
No, you cannot. So, in case we haven't let you know, it's a creepy day today.
Yeah.
And we're going to be talking about spooky games / really rituals, ritualistic
more
games.
More rituals, yeah.
That are played as games, basically. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be talking about them, where they came from, if we have that information. We're also going to be talking about, the variations on them. We're going to talk about what happens if you fuck it up.
Don't do that.
Right off the bat, we do not recommend you play any of these games. I myself would never play any of these games.
Well, you have played one of them.
Is it one that we're talking about?
One that I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. I have done one.
One of them is you've all fucking played it. And if you haven't, I don't trust you.
Yeah, there's something wrong there.
Yeah.
But most of these, the ones that, when we get into conjuring demons and spirits and entering netherworlds,
not for
I
me.
Think, just listen, maybe. Just listen about it.
Yeah.
Don't actually do it.
It's scary enough to listen about it and fucking research about it. It was so funny because both of us, I think, last week, were texting each other about this. And I was like, it's getting late. And I feel like I can't finish this episode tonight because I'm getting so freaked
and
out.
And I was like, I am feeling the same way. I couldn't watch YouTube videos about it. I couldn't do any. I was like, I can't be in this anymore at night. I need to do it in the daytime.
No, it's freaking me out, dude.
And then this all is happening today on top of the thing that happened when we did the spooky lighthouses the other day. So it's like,
what? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The crazy, distorted voices in the last episode. I don't know what's going on.
I'm bringing it over whole ass sage tomorrow.
We're doing it right now. We're fine. Everything's cool.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. So what I do want to say is to find these, we went down, the Reddit rabbit holes, the YouTube rabbit holes, the 65th pages on Google rabbit holes. And then we found some cool books.
We did.
Which I didn't expect to find a lot of books for some reason, but
neither did I.
We found a lot of cool ones.
I found some cool essays, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff. We're going to link to as much as we can, but I really want to shout one out in particular that I kept going back to time and time again. It's this website. A lot of you probably know it if you like spooky shit.
Yeah.
The Ghost in My Machine is the website. It's run by Lucia Peters. She also has a book called Dangerous Games to Play in the Dark, and it is so fucking good.
I honestly... Whoa.
There's that, your extra souls. Yeah. They're always coming out.
I honestly feel like we talked about her when we did the first installment of this game.
I feel like we did.
I think we used that website for sure.
Because I definitely came back to it a million times.
Yeah.
So I feel like we probably did, but she is worth a shout out again because that website is great. Her book is such a good read. You have to get it, guys. I can't wait to read it around, like, true spooky season.
Oh, I'm craving it.
Because we're kind of creating our own spooky season right now, which is great. But when it's, like, the vibe is right, the leaves are changed, there's a crisp in the air.
It hits
different.
And there's
pumpkins. It's just different.
It's different.
So I can't wait to read it then, too. But it's Spooky Game, or Dangerous Games to Play in the Dark by Lucia Peters. I'm going to link it in the show notes. She's a really, like, brilliantly spooky storyteller and a crazy researcher.
Love and that.
So it's a treasure trove of spooky.
Love all a fellow of it, queen.
You know? So I'm going to start with my first game slash ritual, and it is called A Gathering of 100 Tales.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It is Japanese, and so it is also called, I'm going to give it a shot, everybody. I apologize.
Announcenames.com.
Hayakumonogatari Kaidankai.
I feel like you did way better than I ever could have dreamt of.
It felt right.
Good job.
So I hope I was right with that. I tried. It's Japanese, like I said. It translates to either a gathering of 100 tales or something along the lines of that.
And when you're saying tales, it's like stories or
stories. Okay. That's a very good distinction to make. It's not a gathering of 100 like animal tales.
Just making sure.
But I love that too, that it would be a gathering of the tales. Like those tales would just gather together.
I don't know. Weird shit goes down, okay?
Now, it seems to have been born out of the Edo period in Japan. It's Edo or Edo. I'm not quite sure. Edo. It was originally played by samurai warriors as a method of testing courage.
Oh, all right. So it's going to be fucking wild.
So that should tell you how fucking scary this shit is. Now, actually...
That should tell you how fucking scary this shit is.
Sorry, did that get really bothered? I just let it rip. I didn't mean to do that.
That was great.
Actually,
that should fucking tell you how scary this shit is, Ken.
It's escaping.
All right, Southie.
That's what all these like spirits in the room are trying to do. They're just like, be yourself. Giving me the confidence.
Have heard me talk about how much I love Native. In fact, it is literally on my armpits right now. The thoughtful formulation behind all their products is something that I've always loved because they understand that it's not just what's on the inside that counts, but also the outside. That's why Native is releasing their deodorant that I know and love in new and improved plastic-free packaging. Native is doing their part to help our earth with their new 100% plastic-free and recyclable packaging. When you buy Native's new plastic-free recyclable package deodorant, you are saving 37 grams of plastic. Native is also a proud partner of the 1% for the Planet and are committing 1% of their plastic-free deodorant sales to environmental nonprofits. I think that's freaking incredible. Just like all of Native's other deodorants, their plastic-free deodorant is aluminum and paraben-free, kills odor-causing bacteria, and has 24-hour odor protection to keep you feeling and smelling fresh. In fact, I forgot to put on deodorant the other day, but I had some left over from the other day, and my armpits still smelled fresh. I get the eucalyptus scent. I love it. But Native has a ton of scents. In fact, there's 10. They have classic coconut and vanilla, and also sensitive formulas that are formulated without baking soda, and even unscented if you're, like, not into the scent life. Ready to try plastic-free deodorant? Go to nativedo.com/morbid, or use promo code morbid at checkout and get 20% off your first order. That's nativedo.com/morbid, or use promo code morbid at checkout for 20% off of your first order.
Cool. But actually, the first known mention of the game is from 1660.
Ooh.
So it goes back.
Way back.
And it's from a book called Tana Tanoigusa. Tanoigusa, I believe it is. And it's like a nursery rhyme, kind of like spooky tales kind of thing. And what you need to do is you need to gather as many players as possible, because no matter how many people you have playing, you need to tell 100 scary tales for this game.
Oh, shit.
So if you only have two people, you have a lot of creative work to do between the two of you.
50 each, motherfuckers. Get to work.
So you wait until the sky is at its darkest point. The sun must be down and the night has to have completely taken hold. It has to be pitch black.
Okay.
You also have to make sure the rooms involved in this game are pitch black. No light whatsoever can come through.
No, thank you.
So then 100 candles are lit and placed in one room.
Fire hazard.
This room can't have anything that could be used as a weapon inside of it.
Okay.
In the middle of this circle of candles, there is a mirror set up.
Never good.
Players who should be wearing blue, couldn't find out why. It seems like maybe it's serene or like heavenly,
perhaps. It's a chill-ass color. It's got good vibrations.
I don't know if it has to do with that like old, you know, tale that like people would paint the roofs of their porches blue because it's a heavenly color and it keeps demons out.
Okay.
Bad spirits.
That makes sense.
I don't know if that's it, but it seems like blue is a pretty chill color. So they should be wearing blue. They all go to another room and now the fun begins. Each player tells a ghost story or just horrifying tale. It has to at least attempt to induce fear in your fellow players. These tales can be fictional or they can be real tales. They were called kaidons. As each player, and that's why it says at the end of the Japanese name for this, it's Kaidon Kai.
Oh, gotcha.
Kaidons. So as each player finishes their tale, they walk into that other room alone after they finish the tale and they extinguish a candle. They then look in the mirror and return back to the room where the telling of the tales is happening. So as it goes, the room is getting darker and darker and darker. The idea is that it's causing more fear, and the tales are dark and twisted and scary, so the energy in these rooms is going to be fucking putrid.
Mm.
It's going to be bad energy.
Yeah.
And it's going to summon something fucked. Oh. So as that last candle goes out, as that last story is told, that 100th story, something will be waiting for you in the darkness or in that mirror.
So you blow out the candle as you tell each tale?
After you tell each tale. So you tell a tale, you leave the room, you go into that room with the candles, you blow out one candle, look in the mirror, come back in the room.
Gotcha, gotcha.
Next person reads, does the same thing. You do it 100 times till every candle is blown out. So it's a slow burn of getting darker and darker, and it's going to freak people out. Yeah, literally. Now, so something is going to be waiting for you in the darkness after all of this. You awesome. Have now raised something. A lot of people think it is actually the actual spirit of fear that comes through because the energy and the amount of fear that's cooking up in that room for so long.
100 stories, yeah.
Yeah. And the which, like, that's not awesome.
No.
Like, I don't want that.
That's the opposite of awesome.
I don't want to meet that.
Nope.
So, like, no. So, the problem with this original game, the original way it was played, was it never tells you how to, like, fucking end this game. Like, how do you close that portal you just opened to let in that spirit? Do you just be like, hey, thanks for coming. Bye. Like, it's just nobody tells you what to do.
That's it?
Yeah. And what happened is, I think the reason for this is most of the time people don't go all the way through. They get so freaked out that they never get through those 100 candles.
And they don't get to be
a
samurai.
And they don't do it. And I guess, like, there was one tale of a samurai who, like, thought this spirit had come through, but it was actually just a shadow of a spider that came down.
Oh, my gosh.
And he, like, swiped at it with a sword and, like, got made fun of forever.
Oh.
But, yeah. But like most scary games, like this one, there are a few variations. And
yes.
Since it's super old, people have changed it up a bit as time has gone on. But it's really maintained its core here.
Yeah, yeah.
So another variation is still pretty close to the original, but this time it's just in one room, everything. So you light 100 candles in one room.
I feel like that's safer. I feel like you need to be in the room with the candles. Right.
And as many players are involved in the game, they all tell 100 stories collectively while seated around those 100 candles in the middle. This one to me is scarier because you are blowing out the candles the same way, like you tell the story, you blow one out, but you're sitting in the room as it gets darker.
I think that's
and darker
scarier.
And darker. And as originally, the stories have to be scary, but they can be real or made up. They just have to be like original.
Yeah.
That's the important thing.
Be fucking original, okay?
Be creative as fuck. And the candles are all in the middle of the room lit up. And again, after each tale, you blow out the candle. And that fear is gonna fucking build in
that
room.
It's building and building and building.
Now, once that last candle's blown out, the window's been opened to whatever spirit wants to appear, and it's likely one that feeds on fear, like we said, so good luck with that.
Well, and a lot of spirits do feed on fear.
Yeah.
Like you're not supposed to recognize like spirits in your mm-hmm. home or anything because the second that you do,
they can
fuck with you.
Nom 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 that fear.
They can eat you.
And this is a game that is literally fear. It is built to build fear. That's what it is. It's like that room is going to be, like I said, just putrid with fear. So it's like whatever comes out of that is not going to be grandma. It's going to be,
unless you don't like your grandma,
something really scary. Unless your grandma fed on your fear, which, like, I'm sure there's grandmas out here who did, but yeah. Then she's coming through.
Damn.
But there's also the game of, and it's like just an offshoot of this game called the game of 10 stories.
So this is like the light version.
Yes, exactly. It's also called Jumanogatari.
Okay.
So in this one, you need the darkness, you need the night, but this time you only need 10 candles. You tell 10 stories like before, you blow out a candle each time you finish a tale. At the end of this, you're supposedly given a peek into the netherworld, and you're able to speak with whatever spirit representative decides to show up at this given time. Sounds awesome, but again, this dude is probably someone who eats your goosebumps for an appetizer, so I don't know how far into, like, small talk you want to get with him.
Yeah.
You can. You can ask him questions.
Well, and I always feel like they're tricky.
Oh, they're tricky as fuck. They'll trick and especially you. This one. Like I said, this is not somebody you want to just sit there and be like, have you seen Game of Thrones?
Yeah, like, do you want to get lunch tomorrow?
Yeah.
Like, no.
What's your favorite dessert?
No.
Because he'll be like, your fear.
Your goosebumps.
Yeah, literally. Right. So those are the different variations of 100 Tales, the Gathering of 100 Tales.
Spooky.
And they scare the shit out of me.
Yeah, I don't like that. And yeah. I mean, just the fact that it was used to see if, like, samurais were brave enough to be samurais.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that, like you were saying in the original version, it's like, how do you end it?
Yeah.
Maybe the excitement of, like, winning the game and now you get to be a samurai just, like, X's out the fear in the room.
Maybe. It just, like, the adrenaline just overrides it.
Yeah, because it's like, congratulations, now you're a samurai.
You're, like, samurai.
No, samurai.
No, samurai.
Get it right.
I am.
And
I did. I will. I promise. But yeah, I'm already freaked out. We're only one game in.
All right. Well, my next one is like not super creepy as more as it is interesting.
Mm.
Because as soon as we decided that we were going to do like another installment of spooky games, I had flashbacks to playing Light as a Feather, Stiff as
Hell
a Board.
Yeah.
And I feel like I played that at pretty much every fucking preteen sleepover. Absolutely. I had. So then I got to thinking about, like, is there an origin story from that? Because I feel like anytime there's like a spooky game like this, there's a weird ass origin story.
Oh, of course.
So boy, is there.
Let's go.
Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board actually dates all the way back to the year 1665.
Oh, damn.
When a man named Samuel Pepys was visiting Bordeaux, France?
Yeah, I think so.
That's what I thought too. So while he was visiting, he was catching up with an old friend who lived there. And this friend was telling him about how he saw this group of girls playing a game where they all chanted as they held two fingers underneath a boy. And as they chanted, this boy started to, quote unquote, levitate in the air.
Of course.
Now, luckily, Samuel wrote about this exchange in his diary, which was later found, and we now know how far back this game goes.
That's wild. I had no idea.
Neither did I. So he wrote in his diary about his friend Brisbane telling him this story, and he wrote, quote, Brisbane saw four little girls, very young ones, all kneeling, each of them, upon one knee, and one begun the first line, whispering in the ear of the next, and the second to the third, and the third to the fourth, and she to the first. Then the first began the second line, and so round quite through, and putting each one finger only to a boy that lay flat upon his back on the ground as if he was dead. At the end of the words, they did, with their four fingers, raise this boy as high as they could reach.
Wow.
So some versions of this account say that Samuel himself somehow got connected with these girls and had them perform the ritual on this cook in the area who was known to be like a hefty fellow.
A hefty fellow.
A hefty fellow, if you will. And the girls were able to make this cook levitate. And Samuel was like, I don't know what the fuck kind of witchery this is, but get away from me.
I was just going to say, how is this like not a tragic tale of like four little girls being burned at the stake?
I was thinking the same thing.
That's all I was waiting for. I was like, oh shit.
How did some angry old lady named Sarah not run out of her right? house and scream witchcraft at
that
them?
You know there was a Putnam around waiting to fuck shit up. You know it.
Honestly. Well, like we were in France, so I guess it's better there.
There's still, I bet there was a Putnam lurking somewhere around yeah, there.
There's always a Putnam lurking yeah. in the 1600s.
And knows no bounds.
No. So just like your story, and probably most of these stories, there's different variations that go through over the years.
Yeah.
So back in 1665, they apparently used to say, behold, a dead body, still as stone, cold as marble, light as a spirit, we lift you in the name of Jesus Christ.
I'm obsessed.
Now, growing up,
That's
I only
so intense.
I only remember just saying, light as a feather, stiff as a board.
board.
Light as a feather, stiff as a board.
Right. So I only remember saying that over and over while we all had our middle and index fingers underneath the, usually the girl who was lying on her back in the middle. And I remember the rules being explained to me that you weren't supposed to be lifting, but more concentrating on the girl in the middle, levitating.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then I remember thinking that I was a badass little witch when it worked over and over again.
Of course.
Because you know you just spent like 3 hours doing that.
Of course.
So then I looked a little more into the history of this game, and it turns out that people actually play a little differently than I remember playing. I saw in almost every single source that what you're really supposed to do is pick someone to quote-unquote die, and then they're the
person...
You get
to die today.
Yeah, like, you're gonna die, Sarah. Have fun. I would have picked Dan Putnam.
Yep.
So they're the person who lays in the middle. And then there's one speaker or like leader who explains how this person in the center lying down actually died.
Ooh.
And once it's explained, the chant or the ritual starts with that speaker saying, "She's looking pale." And everyone repeats. So it's like, "She's looking pale. She's looking pale."
I'm obsessed with how fucking ghoulish this is.
Oh, it's cool. So then they say, "She's looking worse. She's looking worse. She's dying. She's dying. She's dead. She's dead.
Ooh, light as a feather,
stiff as a board. Light as a feather, stiff as a board." So it starts out like that and then carries into the light as a feather. And that's when she starts to levitate.
Oh my God. Do you understand that the first time my kids have a sleepover at our house with like a bunch of girls?
Oh, hell yeah.
I'm going to be like, "Girls, sit down. Let me show you a game." I'm going to be like, "You have to do it this way."
Am I invited?
Yes.
I'm actually having your kids sleepover next week with their cousin. And I'm like, should we play?
Should we light as a feather, stiff as a board?
Well, actually, I don't know if I'm going to want to play after this.
I know.
I don't know if you're going to want to play with all your little kids in your house.
Probably not.
But so let's get into this question, though. Why do little kids, and in the instance of this game, mostly little girls, play games that have an element of death involved?
I don't know.
Because
curiosity.
I found a couple different answers to that question. Because looking back through history, you do start to realize that a lot of games that children come up with are influenced by the things going on around them. Like, you think about Ring Around the Rosie or London Bridge. Ring Around the Rosie, as most of us know, is all about the Great Plague.
Yep.
But there's actually a debate about the real origin behind London Bridge. Like, "London Bridge is falling down. So what have you usually heard?
Honestly, I haven't really heard anything about that one.
So usually I thought it was like London Bridge, like, was falling down like in the fire or something. I feel like I've heard that before.
Yeah.
And that did happen. But there's a huge debate over where the original song comes from. So, and like, especially amongst historians. So some of these historians believe that the nursery rhyme references the year 1014, when a Viking leader, Olaf Haraldsson, actually pulled the bridge down during an attack.
That's the origin.
Or some people think, and this is what I've heard before, that it references multiple fires that took place on the bridge, like in the year around the 1600s. But then there's other people who argue that it actually could be about a medieval torture method called...
You know what? That's the one I have heard.
Have you heard that?
Yes.
So I've never heard that before.
Now that you just like flooded it right back to me, because I was like, I know I've heard something.
Unlocked.
There it is.
So this medieval torture method is called immurement. So in medieval times, this was the practice of leaving someone in a room with no exit, just like locking the key and throwing it away. And you just let them die inside over time. So this woman, Alice Bertha Gome, is the author of The Traditional Games of England, Scotland, and Ireland. It's a really cool book. Now, this Alice wrote that the nursery rhyme lyrics, "Take the key and lock her up," may be pointing to the London Bridge, because throughout history, there were always rumors that bodies were kept inside of the London Bridge, like in the pillars.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So I also really quickly wanted to touch upon this crazy fact that the origin of the white sheet ghost may also come from the plague as well, because so many children were seeing dead bodies wrapped up in white sheets.
Yeah.
So all of these different things actually come from like horrible tragedies happening around these children.
That makes sense.
It's crazy. So anyway, all of that is to say that historically children will use tragedies or epidemics and make fun out of them. So in 1665, when Samuel first heard of these girls playing this light as a feather, stiff as a board game in France, the plague was actually running rampant through England, and there were literally just bodies in the streets. So I guess in a way, it's like these kids are kind of using these games and chants and, you know, like nursery rhymes as somewhat of a coping mechanism.
I was going to say, just to cope with what they're seeing every day.
Right.
And they're just seeing it as like, this is what we're seeing people do. They're probably hearing people say she's pale. They're probably hearing people say stiff as a board. Mm-hmm. They're probably hearing all these things.
Exactly. So other research, so some researchers and historians think like that has to do with it, which I think, I wonder honestly if it's just kind of a mixture of all of
probably
these quote unquote reasons. But other researchers and experts think, especially in this case of light as a feather, stiff as a board, because it's so often played by girls and like coming of age girls.
Yeah.
They think that it's a coming of age thing. Now this woman, Elizabeth Tucker, wrote in an essay named Levitation and Trance Sciences at Pre-Adolescent Girl Slumber Parties.
Wow, what an essay.
That's an essay. That these girls playing these games are, quote, experimenting with their own power to regulate the intriguing, sometimes threatening awareness of their own development.
Yeah,
sure. It's like a coming of age thing.
Yeah, there you go. That's why we all want to be witches when we get into puberty.
Literally, or you've just seen The Craft.
Exactly.
So whatever the reason is, so many of us remember playing this game.
Yes.
So I wanted to get into people's experiences playing the game. For me, it was like very simple. We all chanted. We thought we levitated a human. We rocked on about being young witches for a second. And then we probably went into the kitchen and had like Twizzlers and Pepsi.
Yep, that's literally my experience.
Yeah, but for other people, I guess it was a little more intense than that. Because people who play the game sometimes believe that the person lying in the middle, acting as the dead one, is actually susceptible to having their body possessed by some kind of demon or spirit.
Oh, damn.
So one Redditor played the game with her friends at a birthday party, and most of the girls, as they were trying to levitate the girl in the center, they saw an orb fly through this girl's bedroom door and come toward them.
Oh.
So they all started screaming and running out, and this girl's parent, this girl's mom had to like round them all up and be like, it's fine, like let's get ice cream or something. And one girl said, like, so they're all explaining, like, we saw this orb fly through the room, but one little girl was like, I didn't see an orb, I saw a shadow man, and he reached out and tried to grab me.
Oh.
And I was like, I never felt that way playing light as a feather, stiff as a board.
Ever feel that intense.
Who doesn't love to live well, to be perfectly at ease and in comfort and in style? Well, Hunter Douglas can help you do just that with their innovative window shade designs, gorgeous fabrics, and control systems that are so advanced they can be scheduled to automatically adjust to their optimal position throughout the day. Perhaps it's the way that the shades diffuse harsh sunlight to cast a beautiful glow across the room, or being able to enjoy the view outside the window while also protecting your privacy inside. Don't look at me. Maybe it's the superior insulation the shades provide, keeping you warmer in the winter, cooler in the summer, and, love this, lowering your utility bills. Or is it simply that Goldilocks moment when you walk into a room and everything just looks and feels right about it? And when you tap into Hunter Douglas's PowerView technology, your shades can be set to automatically reposition for the perfect balance of light, privacy, and insulation morning, noon, and night. What doesn't sound absolutely decadent about that experience? So live beautifully with Hunter Douglas, enjoying greater convenience, enhanced style, and increased comfort in your home throughout the day. Visit hunterdouglas.com/morbid today for your free Style Gets Smarter design guide with fresh takes, creative ideas, and smart solutions for dressing your windows. That's hunterdouglas.com/morbid for your free design guide.
Another person who played said that once they were finished playing and everybody went home for the night, a girl wearing white just sat in the corner of her bedroom every night staring at her for a week.
Yep. Did you call someone?
Ghostbusters?
Did you do something?
Another Redditor said that they also played at a birthday party, but when they were playing, they asked spirits to help them lift the girl in the center. And as they asked for the spirits' help, they heard this huge bang in another part of the house that ended the game. And because they wanted to investigate like where this noise came from.
Yeah, who the fuck's in the house?
So they go and they realize that it's a piece of wood that had fallen down in the main girl's like father's workshop. But they were like, there was nothing in this room that made it so this piece of wood should have fallen. Like, there was no answer to why it would have fallen. And, like,
I don't know, maybe it's a coincidence, but...
Or maybe it's somebody being like, don't play that game, man.
I was literally
like, distracting them to be like...
I was going to say, maybe it's a coincidence or maybe it's a warning.
Feels like a warning to me.
Feels like a warning. So I guess the takeaway here is that this game could definitely invite some spirits into the room if you're playing. It might have something to do with like all the dark energy surrounding the origin of the game. Maybe we're all just little witches.
Maybe.
Or maybe looking back, we remember this game differently. Like we swear that we're not lifting the girl in the center and she just ends up floating thanks to our magical abilities.
Of course.
This could actually have something to do with the hindsight bias, which is something a woman, Sarah Coughlin, talks about in her article, The Surprisingly Sensible History of Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board.
Surprisingly sensible.
So she cites a paper in her article that explains what hindsight bias is, and it goes on to summarize it by saying, quote, if we don't completely remember an event, we'll unconsciously recreate it in the way we think it should have gone.
That makes so much sense.
It does.
It really is true.
So all of us that have, like, memories of playing this game and like actually levitating a girl in the center as we took our hands away, she's still levitating.
Yeah,
it's just that we wanted it to go that
way. Of course. So your brain just fills in the missing information.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that explains it for all you skeptics out there. And then one more skeptic information explanation could be the fact that it just has to do with four more people having their fingers underneath somebody and the distribution of weight there.
Yeah.
It just makes it easier to lift the person.
Of course. And it makes it feel like there's not a lot of weight on your fingers, so they're not actually being lifted. It's just right. Like not as much weight.
But realistically, yeah, your fingers can hold a ton of weight.
Yeah.
In researching this, I guess I didn't write it down. I should have. But there's like a world record for how much weight somebody's pinky Ooh. Finger can hold. And it was over 200 pounds.
It's like an ant.
I think it was 214 pounds.
Jesus.
But yeah. Yeah, choose whatever you want to believe, but either way, this game is a lot more metal than I originally thought.
Way more metal. Like, that's intense. We used to just, like you said, we would just do it and be like, let's play Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board, guys. And then it was in the craft, and I remember being like, oh, cool, I love that game.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, whatever.
Yeah.
But now it's like, damn.
Now it's everywhere.
Damn.
I still want to play with your kids.
I still want to play.
Me too.
I don't want to invite spirits in, but like.
Me either. We could.
I don't want to play.
We could set up some siege or something.
Yeah, we'll do something. It's fine.
It's fine, everybody.
Everything's fine. Wow. Okay. So let's move on to Sarah Sarita, shall we?
I'm so glad you did that one because yep. I almost did it.
Yep.
Oh.
Now, this game hails from Mexico. Mm-hmm. And there is a legend that says there's two different like ideas of what Sarah Sarita or who she is or okay. who they are. There's a legend that says Sarah and Sarita were sisters who were brutally abducted and murdered one day while coming home from school.
Oh.
There is another version that believes Sarah Sarita is the daughter of the devil, and that's metal as fuck and less sad for me. So I'm going with that.
The only thing is I just feel like the devil wouldn't name his daughter Sarah.
Are you sure?
No. It's just a feeling.
Because I feel like it's like he was making people, you know, that's what people were claiming all the witches were. They were all Sarahs.
All right, that's true.
So I feel like it's they weren't, but I feel like everybody thinks that's like a devil.
All right.
Kind of thing.
Fair. Okay.
You know? Yeah. So there you go. Sarah Sarita.
All right.
I just think that's metal. So I was like, yeah, let's do that one. So for this one, you need two main players. You need two coins, and they have to be the same. Two quarters or two nickels, you get it. So to begin, you need permission. This is a game that is all about permission.
I love that. Consent is everything.
A lot of consent here, but Sarah Sarita is going to fuck with you a
little bit. She calls the shots.
She sure does. Now, you sit across from each other on the ground, and you look at each other, and you say together, Sarah Sarita, may I enter your game?
Okay.
No, we're not playing the game, Sarah Sarita, by the
nope.
way. I don't have
coins. Well, we don't have coins.
Then both of you pick up your coins, you toss them over your shoulders together. If they both land heads up, then congratulations. This spirit or these spirits have given you permission to enter a game in which they get to mess with you.
Okay.
If both coins land tails up, then stop.
Okay.
Apologize for being an annoying little asshole and leave that room immediately.
Noted.
Sarah Sarita has not given you permission to play and has instead given you a warning to get the hell out. Don't keep asking after this answer. She will get reckless with your ass, so do not.
Okay.
She says no, you go, ooh, so sorry. My bad. What an annoying little shit I am. And then you leave.
Do you have to leave the house?
You have to get the hell out of that room at least.
Okay.
Just get out. If one lands tails and one lands heads, then you got a maybe. You can keep asking until you get a clear permission to play, but you're probably being kind of a dummy to do that. I would just apologize and burn the house down or something.
Yeah, that's fine. Just I would
to
go
be
with
safe,
that.
You know.
Yeah, just cross your T's and dot your I's. Burn down the house.
Yeah, just see you later. It's been real. So let's say you got your two heads. She gave you clear permission to play. Now apparently you move into a part of the game called, especially on The Ghost in My Machine, she calls it the conversation.
Mm.
So now you each start asking yes or no questions. Be formal, though. Don't just say, hey, so am I going to get that promotion? You say, Sarah Sarita, will I get that promotion at work? Be formal. Don't be rude.
Okay.
So after you ask your question, you both throw the coins over your shoulders again after each of the questions. The same rules apply for this answering system, too. Heads means yes, tails means no. One of each is a maybe.
Okay.
So if you get too many weird responses, like a lot of maybes or answers that clearly don't make sense, she's messing with you and you should move on and start getting the hell out of this game.
Because get your matches ready, burn the house down.
Pretty much, pretty much. Now, you got some questions asked by either the daughter of Satan or two murdered sisters. So now you have to perform what is called the farewell ritual.
Oh.
To be allowed to leave this game.
Oh, God.
You both say together, Sarah Sarita, may I leave your game?
Mm-hmm.
Throw those coins, friends. Both heads means you get out of there. You're good.
She let you made it out unscathed.
Don't speak about this again. Forget you ever did it. It was a dark moment in your life. Just move on. Two tails means you fucked up. And Sarah Sarita is not done playing with your wily ass yet. So you have to sit down and you have to keep asking her. Like, you have to keep asking permission until you get a clear yes.
My whole body is radiating at this point.
Because that, now, and this is the worst thing, because if you keep asking for permission, you might get those one heads, one tails business, which means maybe, but that's a no, too.
Yeah, you need that's a distinct a no. Yes.
So you could sit here for hours and not be allowed to leave.
Oh.
Yeah. It's important to know, too, that this spirit has a tendency to not tell the truth. So she's not always going to give you a true or valid answer. Don't trust her completely. You just do what you can do. But also don't spend those coins after playing with them. Put them somewhere and keep them there.
Oh.
Now, a Reddit user claimed they played this during a school lunch at school.
What if you can't leave? You're just going to not go to math class?
Well, they asked her if she was there to hurt them. And she gave the answer, maybe.
Oh.
Then they tried to leave the game because it was like class time. They got 5 consecutive no's. So then lunch ended. They had to go to their next class without getting permission to leave the game. This user claims that their friend was crying her eyes out, claiming she was hearing whispers, she was feeling sick. Like, it was bad. Ooh. So when they got out of school, they asked her again if that was her, and she answered yes. They tried to close the game out for 5 days, but they kept getting no's and maybes.
Oh,
they finally were able to get permission to leave. But those 5 days, they said they were anxious, they were sick, they were hearing stuff, like having all kinds of supernatural shit
punched my computer. Oh, my God.
So I, again, like I said in the beginning, I do not recommend you play these games. I will not be playing that game. I don't think Sarah Sarita, I don't think she wants to answer your questions. So just
leave her alone.
Let it be, you know?
Let it be.
But that one freaks me out.
Ooh, yeah, that freaks me out, too.
That one really freaks me out.
I, glimpsed a little bit into that, but I didn't go super far into it because it started getting later, and I was like, I don't need to continue reading about this.
It's the needing permission to leave thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like you can just do some kind of ritual to, close on a Ouija board or something where you can close out the whole thing and... That's that. Like, you feel at
Even
least...
sometimes it's
I mean, that doesn't always work, but you at least have, a thing where you're like, oh, I do this, it's supposedly it's done, and that's it. You have to rely on this person or thing or entity to tell you that you're allowed to leave.
Yeah.
That's nope, not for me.
Mm-mm.
Not for me.
No.
Mm-mm.
Wow. I'm so freaked out.
I know.
I'm incredibly freaked out.
And it's getting really cloudy right now and dark and stormy. And
I also think that John just closed the door that is underneath me because my chair rattled a little and I almost peed my actual pants.
I'm also going to take a picture of these dark, stormy clouds.
Yeah, we picked a wily day to do this, to use your adjective.
I know. I'm going to post these on our story so that you guys can see, like, one, the picture behind me, and two, the gnarly clouds that are rolling in right
so
now.
So scary.
That we may have summoned. I'm sorry.
I don't think we... No, we didn't ask to do anything. We are simply
explaining
the rules.
We're not playing these games. In fact, we're telling people not to play.
No.
Okay?
We're doing the Lord's work out here.
We are spreading the good word here. Do not.
All right. Well, my next one, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to play, but I am tempted to play because it's like weirdly, I can't think of like the word. It's weirdly like, I feel like you'll have like a come to Jesus moment a little bit at the end of this game.
Okay.
All right.
So I think I know you mentioned this one to me and I didn't look into it purposefully because I was like,
I want
to
know.
Just the name of this gives me... I don't know why it
really?
Immediately when you said it, because I know it's like a spirit game and the name, I don't know what it was. It was like, ooh.
Yeah. So the name is Three Kings Ritual.
Yeah.
That's so funny that I was like, it's so funny because I picked this one and I was like, okay, I'm going to pick that because it doesn't seem too scary.
No, for some, I don't know why. Like, there's just something about it. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just like in like something I can't even like relay out of my subconscious why it is so creepy, but the Three Kings Ritual, I'm like, ooh.
I get that because let me just go off on a quick tangent here. I've talked to you about this before, and now I'm just genuinely curious if this happens to anybody else. For me, letters have personalities.
I forgot about this.
So, like, I like certain letters, like, I feel like they're, like, a good letter, and then, like, other letters, I'm like, no, I don't like that letter.
I kind of love that.
Like the letter B, I don't necessarily love. Like, I don't think I would name my kid something that started with B. And for a long time, I thought I was going to. And then I was like, I don't know. Like, I don't
like B. I was
going
to say, that's interesting.
Like, B started to freak me out for some reason.
Huh.
It's like, it sounds like synesthesia, but it's not.
It's a form of synesthesia.
Oh, okay.
Because when you said that, I was like, wait, that's got to be some form
of
synesthesia.
So do I have that?
Ordinal linguistic personification.
Oh.
In which ordered sequences such as ordinal numbers, days, months, and letters are associated with personalities or anything like that.
That's interesting because I also do the same thing with numbers, which we will get into.
Huh.
Yeah.
Look at that.
That's funny.
Just learning things as we go here.
All right. Ooh. Okay. So Three Kings Ritual. This is a game that is going to take some planning ahead and some serious cojones.
I love it.
You need some.
And you know what's funny? My last game, the same exact kind of vibe where it's like, this is going to take a lot of planning and a lot of stuff.
A lot of balls.
Yeah. A lot of balls.
You better have balls. All right. So according to The Ghost in My Machine.
Oh, we love it.
It was originally posted on No Sleep in 2012. I think that's like
Oh, that's a Reddit, I think.
I believe so.
Right?
Yeah. So that site or Reddit group.
Yeah, I have no idea how Reddit works, but I use it for these things, but I don't know any of like the terminology.
Neither do I. I feel very uncool.
Like somebody will mention like karma points, and I'm like, what's a karma point?
I don't know what you just said. That sounds something that sounds like Bitcoin-y to me.
It? Yeah. It sounds very like NFT to me. I'm not really sure.
I don't understand any of that shit, and to be honest, I don't want to.
I'm just going to stick to Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter and Instagram for me.
April. It's Earth Month, and that means a lot of us are giving a little extra thought to how we treat the planet. Everybody wants to help out, but it can be hard to know where to start. Problems like climate change and plastic pollution can really feel overwhelming, especially when you don't see a clear way to make an impact. Rothy's believes that even the biggest challenges can be tackled one step at a time. They make the most comfortable, stylish, and durable shoes and daily essentials, all from recycled plastic. I absolutely love Rothy's. They are the most incredible flat that I have ever graced the presence of my feet with. Like, how beautiful of a sentence. But they're just so comfortable. And in my experience, flats are like not the most comfortable shoe. I feel like you go through like a really horrible break-in experience when you get a new pair of flats and you get like a ton of blisters, but not with Rothy's. And one of my favorite things about them is that you can throw them in the freaking wash machine and like they never smell bad because some of us have stinky stinky feet. And not if you have Rothy's, though, because you can just throw them in the wash machine. They have sustainably sourced materials like single-use water bottles, algae-based foam, and ocean-bound plastic. And they use other sustainable practices to create better shoes with less waste. They are so freaking comfortable. I already told you how comfortable they are. You're going to be blessing your feet. And they're super, super durable. I've had a pair of my Rothy's for like 2 years at this point, and they still look brand new every single time I put them on. So you guys know these shoes are built to last, and they're built for your comfort. When you're wearing Rothy's, your footprint feels lighter than ever. Get 20% off your first purchase today at rothys.com/morbid. That's rothys.com/morbid. Think back to sex ed for a moment. You probably learned all about how to prevent pregnancy, but what about how to plan for it? That's why Modern Fertility was created. It's an easy and affordable way to test your fertility hormones at home with a simple finger prick. Mail it in with a prepaid label and you'll get your personalized results within 10 days. You're going to get insight into your hormone levels, your ovarian reserve, which is just how many eggs you have compared to other women your age. If you watch Summer House, you know Lindsay has a lot. And other important fertility factors. The results go deep into what every hormone means, and you can also talk one-on-one with a fertility nurse to review your results and options for your next steps. Traditional testing with your doctor, get this, can cost over $1,000, but Modern Fertility gets you the same info at $159, a fraction of the price. And if you go to modernfertility.com/morbid, you can get $20 off your test. Also, if you have an HSA or FSA, put those dollars toward Modern Fertility. If you want kids today, or, you know, maybe one day in the future, clinically sound info about your body can help you make the decision that is right for you. Right now, Modern Fertility is offering our listeners $20 off the test when you go to modernfertility.com/morbid. That means your test will cost $139 instead of the hundreds or thousands that it could cost at a doctor's office. Get $20 off your fertility test when you go to modernfertility.com/morbid. modernfertility.com/morbid.
All right, so the no sleep group form lifestyle post said that you and your partner should be of sound mind and not be dealing with any intense issues around the time that you're going to try out the Three Kings ritual.
Ooh, good luck finding a time that nobody's dealing with any intense issues.
Honestly, I could never play this.
I was going to say, can any of us ever play that?
No. Yeah, I also could not play this because you should not have had any drugs or alcohol for at least 3 to 5 days prior, and that's just not going to work for me. So,
for the game, I can do that, but I can't do
that. You could do that easily. Unless you have a migraine.
Then oh, that's true.
And take Excedrin. That's a drug.
That's a drug.
And actually, so is caffeine. So you're fucked.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm out.
I don't know. That's the thing. It's like, how specific do I have to get here?
Yeah, probably really specific.
I'm going to be specific. So for the game, you're going to need 3 chairs, 2 mirrors, a fully charged phone.
Oh,
fully
you're out.
Charged. I'm
you can't play.
My phone is never fully
you
charged.
You cannot play.
Anytime I post like a screenshot or something, people are like, charge your fucking phone. And I'm like, no.
And it's always me, just with different accounts. Charge your fucking phone.
Like, I won't. You also need a bucket filled with water, a mug of your choosing. I personally would choose my Trixie Mattel mug.
Oh, I love a good mug. I have a Stardust coffee mug that looks like the Starbucks logo, but it's just David Bowie.
It's a good
Stardust.
Mug.
Stardust.
Yeah,
a good one.
Yeah, you need like a comforting mug. Hell we all yeah. have one. You need an electric fan. We're not plugging this fan in.
No.
A candle or a pack of candles that you're going to need to light later on. I just snarfed. A dark room. A trusted partner. Like, you need to trust this person implicitly.
So I could do it with you.
I don't know if you would want to do it with me because I am known to fall asleep at like shitty times.
So bye, though.
All right. So I would play it with you.
All right, cool.
You would definitely be my trusted partner.
Yeah.
I love Drew, but that motherfucker would ZZZ it up outside. So you're also going to need some kind of small object that is sentimental to you.
Okay.
So to start, you're going to go into the room that you've chosen to carry out the Three Kings ritual in. If there are any windows in that room, you're going to want to cover them up, just like your
Always.
First game. No light should be coming through.
Never.
You're then going to set up the 3 chairs. 1 chair is going to be yours, and it should be facing north. I guess I also should have told you to bring along a compass.
I was going to say, you also need a compass.
Yeah, I don't know what direction is north in my house.
I don't.
You will consider your chair that is in the north zone your throne.
I always do.
So honestly,
this works.
Then you're going to place the other two chairs across from your throne so that they're facing you, but off to the side a little bit.
Okay.
You'll then prop up two mirrors to each chair, or like one mirror to each chair, excuse me. And you're going to secure the mirror to the chair. So the chairs facing you will have mirrors sitting on them. One of the chairs is for the queen and the other is for the fool. You just don't know who's who. Once the chairs are set up, you're going to put the bucket of water in front of your chair and place the mug next to the bucket of water. And you're going to want to put this in a place where you're not going to trip over it, yeah. But it's there if you need it.
Okay.
Then you're going to place your fan behind your chair and turn it on. You can do it on medium.
A windswept moment.
You can do it on medium or low. You cannot do it on high. It's not a good choice.
I wouldn't dream of it.
I would never.
Never.
Actually, I always sleep with my fan on high, but that's beside the point. Too. I'm sleeping. I'm not ritualing.
No.
So once that's all set, you're going to leave the room that you've just set up, and you're going to make sure you leave the door open when you exit and turn all the lights off if you haven't already. Then you're going to go into your own room and you're going to go to sleep and you're going to set your alarm for about 3:30 in the morning.
I'm not going
to
do that.
And I didn't mean to say about exactly is what I meant to say. You need to wake up at 3:30 in the morning. One of the sites that was explaining how this whole thing works said you should start setting up things around 11. Make sure everything's all set. Get to bed. You got to wake up at 3:30.
That's where the problem would be.
Yeah, I'm not getting up at 3:30.
Yeah, no. So, even when I do it by accident, like I was telling you this earlier, yes. That if I wake up at 3 a.m., I'm like, nope. Like, I immediately am like,
I scooch in the bed closer to Drew. Like, he can, like, save me from something. When in all reality, he would be like, that sucks.
He'd be like, I love you so much.
He'd be like, have fun dealing with that. So your alarm goes off at 3:30. You got to get up as quickly as you can. And you need to bring your phone with you. You need to bring your candle that should now be lit. Your sentimental object that I'm honestly going to say that you should probably just leave in your pocket.
Yeah, because I wouldn't remember any of this at 3:30 in the morning.
No. And you're supposed to be sleeping with your sentimental object, by the way. So I would say in your pocket is a great spot. And you are going to want to grab your partner for the game. If the door to the room that you've set up is closed, do not, for any reason, continue with this game. And also, now you're fucked because you have to wake up everybody in your house and leave ASAP, and you're not allowed to come back until 6 a.m.
Oh, shit. So, also, like, there could be an intruder in your house because that door was open when you left. So
an intruder named demon.com.
A lot of issues here that could be happening.
There are, but it's okay because you're
leaving. Can you imagine?
No.
No.
I would also, I'd be so pissed. Fucking angry at somebody playing this game in my house. I'd be like, you are banned from living here.
Oh my God.
I eviction barred you from living.
Notice immediately out of my house.
Like, if I was a landlord and this happened, I'd be like, you're evicted.
Because that's the other thing. What if you played in an apartment? Are you supposed to get everybody in the building out? Or is it just everybody in your unit, I wonder? It
says everybody in the house. So, like, don't play in an apartment.
Don't do that.
So, you're just going to have to try again, I guess, like, another day if you really want to play that badly. But.
That important to
for
you?
Me, I would take that as a warning that you should not play this game.
Yes.
Now, so say the door is open, but you walk into the room and the fan is turned off. Do not continue.
No.
You have to do the exact same thing. Round up everybody in the house. Leave. Don't come back until 6 o'clock. If the door is open and the fan is on and everything seems cool. I mean, it won't seem cool. But if the door is open and the fan is on, you're good to go. Your partner is going to stay outside of the room. I've seen in some variations that they should continue to move to avoid a haunting. Like, you should keep, your partner should keep moving about, but they need to be like reachable.
Just doing a jig.
Yeah, I guess. Like, shake your foot. I'd be fine because I was shaking my foot. And as soon as you go in, you're going to go into the room, close the door behind you, and pray to the fucking heavens above that your partner does not fall asleep out there, because that will be bad.
Oh, man. You were telling the absolute truth. You were telling the God's honest truth when you said you need to trust that person.
You need to trust that person.
Because holy shit.
Yeah.
No.
They're your whole key out of this. Oof. So then you're going to sit on your throne, and you're going to want to make sure that you keep your body in front of your candle so that the fan doesn't blow it out. As you're walking into the room, sitting down on the throne, and throughout the entire game, you are not supposed to look in the mirror for any reason at all. Do not look into the fucking mirror. I cannot stress this enough.
You know what I would do the second I sat down? I would look into both those fucking mirrors.
Of course
my eyes would be going to those mirrors 100 times.
Yeah, and then your soul would get trapped inside with the king. Oh, so, man. Like, Godspeed.
Is the king, like, Is it like the King of the North in Game of Thrones?
There's three kings. It's okay. Like the what's the White King?
The Night King.
The Night King.
The Night King. Oh no, I don't want that.
I don't even know if he's like, he might even be worse.
Ooh. No, I don't love that.
You have to be seated in your throne by 3:33 a.m. Which weirdly is my good luck time if we're talking PM.
I was just gonna say that.
Like, I'm never awake at 3:33 a.m. I'm never awake at 3:33 a.m. But maybe if I see it PM, I'm like, ooh, good luck. Like, good things are gonna happen. It's an angel number. Now, as long as you make it to your throne at 3:33 a.m., you are supposed to be joined by the kings at some point, and you can start asking them questions. If you don't make it to the throne by 3:33 a.m., same thing. Round up the motherfuckers inside the house. Get out of there. Go to Denny's. Man. Don't come back until 6.
Go to Denny's.
So, the kings might have their own questions for you, and some of their answers might be dark as fuck, but you signed up for this, so that's on you, bud.
It is.
This is the point in the game where you're going to hear voices answering your questions, asking their own questions. You might hear your own fucking voice just, like, distorted super weirdly.
Oh.
And you're supposed to take this whole thing very seriously. You need to act respectful and ask genuine questions.
I'd be out.
You would be so far gone.
You know I would.
I don't know,
though.
I think you'd be so scared. That scared me. You just dropped a Reese's egg on the floor and it scared me.
Oh, I forgot I had that in my pocket.
How dare you hide a Reese's egg from me, you bitch.
Oh, no, I'm not a trusted companion.
You are not a trusted companion any longer.
No, I would get fucked during this because I would just, I laugh when I'm terrified. I laugh when I'm sad. I laugh when I'm
angry. Maybe you could explain that to the kings.
I would have to explain it right away. I'd be like, let me just preface this.
I feel like they'd like prey upon that.
Yeah.
So at 4:34 a.m., your time with the kings is up, and your friend outside should be aware of that beforehand and call from the other side of the door to let you know that you can blow your candle out and leave the room now. You're done. You blowing out the candle and leaving the room signifies that the ritual is complete. If your friend can't get you out of the trance, that's when they call your fully charged cell phone.
Mm.
If that doesn't work, they can come inside the room as a last resort and use the mug to throw some water on you. They grab the water from the bucket.
I was wondering what that was.
By no means should they touch you. They cannot touch you.
Okay.
They have to wake you up with the water. So the reason you bring the sentimental item with you is so that if you do end up in some kind of crazy trance, you're advised to focus on that object.
Because it will, like, ground you.
It can bring you back. But okay. Do not, for any reason, get up from your throne before 4:34 a.m. You'll be fucked.
I won't.
So I got a few experiences from the Reddit.
So what is... So just to, as a quick question.
Yeah.
So one of those mirrors is the queen and one is the fool.
Mm-hmm. Well, so one of the seats is the queen and the fool and then, like, the king.
Oh,
but you don't know who's who.
Okay. So then you're talking to the three kings, though?
Yes.
And the queen and the fool are just kind of hanging out?
They're there.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool. Okay.
Yep.
They're just, like, holding
the whole
court.
Is,
yeah,
there,
you
I
all
believe.
Have to be there.
Yeah. So one Redditor wrote of his experience doing this, and he said as soon as he entered the room and took the seat in his throne, he heard a noise come from the direction of the door, and he started seeing all kinds of, like, shadowy people marching about the room.
Ooh.
Almost like they were, like, headed to court. And then he heard a sound like somebody in one of the chairs was writing something down. And then a voice from the other chair started listing off all the good things this guy had ever done in his life.
What?
And it sounded like whoever was in the other chair was writing all these things down. So once the voice was done saying all the good things that this guy had done, then it started talking about all the shameful things that he had done throughout his life. And the other person continued writing. Now, once it was done with the bad things, it basically started giving him advice, this voice. He should avoid consuming drugs or alcohol. He should call his parents more. He should do more charity work.
Oh, damn. I'm, like, getting chills right now.
I know. And once it was done, his girlfriend called out to him that the game was over. And that was that. And he just, like, went on Reddit and was like, should I, like, clean the room? Like, what do,
like,
I do?
What do I do here?
But that's that. You're done.
Holy shit.
And he was like, I felt, like, weirdly, like, light after this.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, another...
That just sounds nice. I mean,
it does.
Sounds like it's like a real come to someone moment, because it's like, here's all the great things you've done in your life. Now here's all the fucking shameful things that we know you've done. I'd be like, oh, can we not?
Right.
Like, I don't want to go through that one.
It's so crazy.
Oof.
So another user had a similar experience, but when they started the ritual, they started to feel this, like, overwhelming sadness in the room, and they actually started crying.
Oh.
And a voice from one side started soothing them and telling them that it was going to be okay. Like, one of the mirrors said that.
And then the other side said something like, keep crying, you bitch. Like, said that. And that voice, the mean one, continued to tell this girl how useless she was. It was saying things like she was a waste of space and didn't deserve to be alive. But then the voice on the other side kept comforting her and was like saying everything was going to be okay. Now, the user said that the experience felt like it was going on for days, and then her friend came in to throw water on her as, like, the last resort of ending the ritual. She had tried everything else. And the friend noticed that the girl was smiling when she woke her up. Like, she seemed happy. So both of these people seemed to have, like, weirdly enlightening experiences that showed them, like, two sides of themselves, kind of.
In different ways.
This next experience was a little more fucked up than that.
Oh, okay, bring it.
This user wrote, quote, this is a direct quote from the Reddit place. This game has literally changed the way I view our world. I have seen things that will haunt me for the rest of my life. I've seen things that caused me to cry until the tears refused to be pulled out of my eyes, and the constant vomiting left me dry heaving on the floor in a miserable pile of human filth.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So they started. I had to cough because I'm stressed.
I told you I'd be fucked.
Yeah, like, she's not even happy right now. She's just stressed.
That's so much. Yeah. A miserable pile of human filth.
Because they couldn't. That's not funny. You're freaking me out. Stop.
That's so bad.
Take a breath.
That's so bad. That's really bad, Reddit user. Right now. That's really bad.
It's really bad, Reddit user.
I hope you're okay.
They're not.
Oh.
They started the ritual, and it took about 45 minutes for them to hear anything.
Oh.
So they were, like, almost done by the time it started. But then they did hear a voice, and it was their own voice.
No.
This person heard their own voice. This seems to happen, like, more often than not. Like, I read a couple other instances where people heard their own voice or something that sounded similar. Now, this user said that their voice was distorted and creepy, but yelled, "Wake up!"
Oh.
And then, as soon as that happened, they could see movement in their peripheral vision coming from the left mirror. Now, the voice from that side told this user, "I love you." And then the other voice said, "Do you wish to join me? I know who you are." And then listed a bunch of the stuff it knew about her. Now, the two voices started arguing with each other at one point, with the nicer one telling the other one to knock it off.
I'd be like, "Mom, Dad, don't fight."
I know. Now, eventually, the user felt someone stroking her cheek, like trying to comfort her.
Nope.
And it was then that she turned and looked into the mirror on that side.
Oh, no.
You're not supposed to look in the mirror.
No, you're not.
So that like nice one was tricking her. She said that as soon as she looked in the mirror, she saw what she believed to be God and other worlds, people she loved dying horrific deaths.
Oh my God, my body is literally melting.
She saw strangers dying horrific deaths, people rising up from the dirt, and then she heard what she believed to be God say, "You will die. I will not lead you. Once you have set everything aflame, you must light yourself on fire."
I don't want to play that.
And once it said that, once that voice said, like, "I will not lead you, you must light yourself and everything on fire," the flame of the candle went out. And the next thing this user remembers is waking up and their friend standing over them explaining that they had passed out. And the mirrors in the room were broken and the girl was covered in blood and couldn't stop crying. And then apparently could not stop crying for the rest of time and, like, throwing up and everything.
I mean, pictures or it didn't happen.
I mean, I think it happened because you can't bring a camera into the room. So some users, though, theorize.
Cell phone.
True, but I don't think you're not supposed to be looking at it. Okay. You gotta listen to the rules, idiot.
I'm a jackass.
Some users theorize that the entire Three Kings ritual is actually just a meditation experience.
It kind of feels that way.
It does. All the steps leading up to it, like preparing that room and then going to sleep, waking up at a certain time, it gets your mind ready for some kind of spiritual awakening.
Like a transcendence.
Exactly. Which, based on some of the experience that I've read, that doesn't seem too far-fetched.
It really doesn't.
It seems like most of the people come out of the Three Kings ritual feeling like they've realized something about themselves.
Yeah, exactly. It seems like they've seen two sides of themselves.
Right.
Or they've, you know, confronted different sides of themselves.
Yeah.
But that last one is...
Yeah, I was going to say, like, it seems like...
I've never heard of a meditation going like that, but...
No, they get, like, some kind of, like, answer or some kind of instruction about how to continue on.
if they don't look in the mirror.
Oh, I forgot that she looked in the mirror. That was looking in the mirror.
Yeah. The weird thing is, though, and it's so funny, I've always been afraid to meditate because when I was younger, I used to live with this lady named Judy. Rest in peace.
Oh, my God. Judy was great.
Fucking love Judy.
Yeah, she was great.
She was amazing. She used to take care of me. Like, we lived with her. She used to watch, like, Unsolved Mysteries and, like, Law and Order and all this, like, scary shit. And I feel like she was watching one of those shows one day, and it was talking about meditation, and it was, like, this woman explaining that she was meditating, but then all of a sudden she was, like, in this, like, forest or something, and all these things were coming after her.
Because it's,
and,
like, opening deep pieces of your mind that is. You're not really tapping into
it normally. Is. So I saw that when I was little, and I've always been afraid to meditate.
Me too.
I don't want to meditate.
I, like, want to, because I feel like such good comes out of it, or I've heard such good can come out of it.
Well, yeah, I shouldn't say I don't want to.
But no, I'm with you, though. Right. But I am honestly, like, too really, scared. Like, stilted at not doing it, because I'm like, I'm just scared of opening my mind to see those little pieces that are just sitting there dormant. Like, yeah. I don't know if I want to tap into those.
Well, and in therapy
is what I meant to say. What the fuck?
In therapy, I used to do this, like, certain kind of therapy.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's called somatic experiencing. Mm-hmm. And it's supposed to, like, open up different parts of your mind. And I did have an experience once where I, because you literally go into, like, different memories, or at least that's what happened when I did it. And I went into, like, this, like, really fucked up memory. And I was, like, fucked up for a couple days after.
I remember when you dealt with this.
Yeah, I started, mm-hmm. like, sobbing all of a sudden. And you're actually, the whole thing, like, how my therapist at least set it up was, in the beginning, you have a room or, like, a place special to you that she can take you back to, mm-hmm. if you go too far, like, into it. Place. And I started, like, yelling that I wanted to go back to that place.
Oh, wow.
And I was, like, freaked the fuck out for
your
days.
Mind is a wild thing, man. It is. It's a wild thing. And when you start tapping into the different parts of it, it can right. get scary.
And I think that's why in the beginning of this, like, they warn you that you should be of sound mind and not yeah. have anything, like, fucked up in your life going on, which is why I can't do it. Because, yeah. like, based on somatic experiencing, there's fucked up corners of my mind that I don't want to revisit.
Yeah, no, I couldn't do this because there's no way I couldn't look at those mirrors. One, I know myself. Like, no. I just know me.
Me
if
too.
You tell me not to look at something, I'm going to be like, boop, I'm going to look right at it.
I'm a Gemini. You tell me not to do something and I immediately go do it.
Yeah, it's just like my curiosity is just, like, way too off the charts. Right. So, like, you say don't look at something and I'm like, why though? Like, I just need to know why. And then as soon as it's like, you need to take this seriously and, like, not laugh, I'd laugh the entire, you just heard me. I laughed at fucking human filth. Yeah. So it's, it wouldn't work for me.
Based on my one meditation experience, I think meditation is so cool, but I don't think it's for me.
It's not for me. The Three Kings ritual sounds fucking terrifying.
Yeah, right? But, like, cool.
And just, like, hearing that it's, like, super metal. Most of these are crazy metal, mm-hmm. and I love hearing about them, and I love researching them. And that's why we wanted to continue this, because these are so fucking fascinating.
They are.
And they are so scary. And it's like, you just want to know somebody who's tried it. Like, yes. Parts of me are like, I want to do it. And then I'm like, I would never do this.
The Three Kings ritual is the only one that I was like, I could probably see myself doing that at some point, but I'm not going to, but I could totally see myself wanting to.
Yeah. I would be interested to hear what would come out of it, but I could not do
because
it.
Because the thing about the Three Kings ritual is, like, it's not like a game. It's not necessarily like a game where you're just, like, asking questions to ask questions. It seems more like an awakening experience.
Like, you're trying to find things out about yourself.
Yeah, like, deeper meaning.
But you're still summoning something you don't understand.
And that's the problem.
And opening something that you don't understand. And it's like, these dudes seem wily as fuck.
They
and, like, one of them's going to, like, caress your cheek and make you look over there. And then he's going to be like, here's hell. And it's like, oh, okay.
Right, they're going to play tricks on your mind.
Yeah, and I'm not down for that.
No.
No. Mm-mm. No thank you to the Three Kings. It's raining now, so
cool.
We brought that in. And we're going to end on, I think, because you don't have another one, right?
I don't. I did those two.
Those were more than enough. but we're going to end on the Black Telephone game.
Ooh.
Now, this is one I found great detailed instructional layouts, or whatever they are called, instructions.
Okay.
In the Dangerous Games to Play in the Dark book, which I will link in there.
Love.
This is meant to literally transport you to another realm.
Oh.
So you really have to be in a space of giving zero fucks for this one.
I'm never in a space of giving zero fucks.
You're off. You're off in another plane of existence for this one.
I always give at least a half a fuck.
Yeah, I give like, there's always some kind of fuck.
Three quarters of a fuck.
At least like, I'm not down to go to another realm. Unless it's like, well, I shouldn't say that. It would be kind of cool to go to another realm, but like this one doesn't sound awesome.
Okay.
This one's like a dark realm. Which, again, immediately I was like, oh, that doesn't sound that bad. But then it's like a distorted dark realm where, like, everything is pitch black. No. And I was like,
bye. No. I sleep with the TV on in my room, so.
Yeah, see, exactly. I couldn't do it. Now, you need a few things for this. It's a heavy ask. But if you give, you know, this little of a fuck to begin with, then you probably can get this stuff together. I believe in you.
Okay.
I think you can do it.
What do you need?
So you need a home or a building of some sort for this.
Check.
Can't play it outside.
Okay.
This has to be an empty home. Completely empty. No pets. No nothing.
Where are
nothing
you going to find there. An empty home?
Exactly. There's always something in there. And you're going to need at least four rooms in this home and a hallway. Oh. And these four rooms are going to have to be, you know, somewhat around the hallway.
I don't like a hallway.
Yeah. So really four rooms and like a calling area, which will be the hallway.
Oh.
With you will need a black telephone, and it's going to have to be a rotary dial phone. So one of those, like, old-timey phones.
We're going vintage.
Like, yeah. And it must be black because goth.
Metal.
Yeah, it can't be anything else.
Okay.
Now, you also need a piece of paper and a writing instrument, and you need two pieces of black cord. And you also need to have something that can keep time, specifically in one-minute increments. So, like, a watch, a stopwatch. I don't know if you can have your phone, to be honest.
Oh.
It didn't say, but I don't know if like that would mess something up, but they suggest a clock or a watch.
Okay.
Because you're supposed to just have that rotary phone.
Gotcha.
So you set yourself up in the hallway in this empty Homer building at night, and you make sure each of the four rooms around you are pitch black with covered windows.
Already know.
You put the phone in the hallway. You can keep a light on in the hallway where you are because you need to see where you're dialing.
Okay.
Now, you put the phone in the hallway, you sit down. You must remain quiet.
Oh, already not for me. I would have fallen three times. I would have burped. I would have sneezed. I would have farted. Like, no. Quiet is not for me.
You would have a lot of trouble with this. You do not speak. You do not bang. You don't bang around. You know, all the things that Ash just... Don't burp, don't fart,
don't be a Gemini. Don't be chaotic.
And if something... And I loved this. I saw this in several instructions of this in several sources, and I was like, so casual. It just says, if something speaks to you, don't speak back.
Oh, alrighty. I'm like,
what's going to speak to me? Don't need to tell me twice. I will not.
What if it says, hi, how are you? I'm polite.
You act like an asshole and you ignore that.
Okay.
You act like you are like the cool girl in school and you put your nose up and you walk the other way.
Oh, I'm not going to do that to a spirit. Too cool for school.
So you tie one of the black cords around the handset of the phone and then you pick the phone up and you dial on that rotary dial 20406080. Then you hang it up. Then you pick it back up and you dial 255-15823.
What does that mean?
Not real sure. Now, something, you put it up to your ear.
No,
something
I don't.
Might speak. Don't answer. Don't say a word. Also, don't hang up. Instead, you place that handset next to the cradle on the ground. You do not hang it up. Then you get up. You walk to the closest pitch black room that you have covered the windows and all that in. And you go in, you close the door behind you, and you stand in that pitch black room for 1 minute.
What?
Then you leave. You go back, you sit down, you do the entire ritual over again, each time going to the different rooms. So you go to the second room after doing that same dialing procedure. Go to the third room after doing that same dialing procedure. Each time, you do not speak to whoever answers that phone if anyone does.
Wait, so at what point do you hang up and then like redial?
Once you come back out, you just hang up. And then you start the whole shebang all over again. And each time you're going to those same sensory deprivation chambers that you've created for 1 minute before returning back and doing the whole thing over again.
Okay.
Now things get even kookier now.
Ooh, we have a very different sponsor for this episode. The Jordan Harbinger Show. I'm just kidding. It's the Jordan Harbinger Show. which is a podcast that you guys really should be listening to. I know that every day someone tells you, you have to listen to this podcast, and you're like, cool, 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 definitely, and then you like never listen to it. I'm going to tell you, don't let that happen here, because Jordan's show, which Apple named one of its best of 2018, is aimed at making you a better informed, more critical thinker so you can get a sense of how the world actually works and come to your own conclusions about what's happening, even inside of your own brain. Each episode is a conversation with a different, fascinating guest, and when I say that there's something for everyone here, guys, I really mean it. In one episode, Jordan talks to a hostage negotiator from the FBI, and this person offers techniques on how to get people to like and trust you, which sounds kind of useful and disturbing all at the same time. Another episode tells the story of a cinematographer who discovered a lost city in the jungle and made one of the most important archaeological finds of the century. I mean, hello, you gotta hear that. I definitely recommend our listeners check out all of the regular episodes, but definitely also the Feedback Friday episodes, because they're really good. Since I'm like just starting the wedding plan, I just listened to Is a Bridesmaid Fight Worth a Disinvite? I love the rhyming too. But because I've also been down the rabbit hole of arranged marriages lately with watching Married at First Sight, I also listened to the Arranged Marriage Threatens Lesbian Couple. That episode was wild and definitely worth listening to. Jordan is always focused on pulling useful, practical insights out of his brilliant guests. And we're not talking just about pop psychology or wishy-washy self-help stuff here. These episodes are packed with bits of wisdom that you can actually use to legitimately change your mind and improve your life right away. If that's not worth checking out, guys, I don't really know what is. We really enjoy this show, and we think that you're going to as well. There is just so much out there, and there's so much here. Check out jordanharbinger.com/start for some episode recommendations, or search for The Jordan Harbinger Show. That's H-A-R-B as in boy, I-N as in Nancy, G-E-R, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. The Jordan Harbinger Show is fucking rad.
We love Jordan. Now, you've done the first room, the second room, the third room. Now you're about to do the fourth room, but you're going to change things up for this fourth room.
Okay.
Now, you're going to do this, you're going to pick up the handset, and you're going to dial 22822. And you do not hang up, but just place the phone down.
Okay.
So you're not doing that hang up and do it again. Down on the ground. You take the other black cord with you that isn't tied to the handset, and you take your pen and your writing instrument, and you walk to the fourth closest room.
Okay.
Now you're going to close your eyes before you enter this room. Close your eyes. And then you're going to enter the room with your eyes closed. You're going to close that door behind you with your eyes closed. And then with your eyes closed, you are going to tie a knot, make that little cord into a, like a little loop. You're going to place that loop on the doorknob.
With my eyes closed?
All with your eyes closed.
Okay.
So might I suggest you walk into this room with your eyes closed. It's going to be hard to find, probably. But you're going to close it behind you, hold on to that doorknob, and maybe crouch down next to the doorknob while you tie that loop, and then it'll be easier to find it again.
Keep your elbow on the doorknob or something.
Yeah, it'll just be easier for you to like reach up. I mean, don't do this.
Yeah, we're like, here's what you can do to make it easier.
If you give zero fucks and you want to transport yourself to another dark, distorted realm, then this is how you should do it.
All right.
So then, once you have done that, you can open your eyes. You're in a pitch black room, remember?
Yes,
I remember. Now you can walk to the windows in that room, and you move any coverings. If the windows are black, if it's pitch black, then you are officially fucked and you got what you wanted. You are in some netherworld that probably won't be awesome and will no doubt change your very being for the rest of your life. It's not recommended that you leave the room if this happens, because shit could be going down now that you have crossed into another realm.
But so like, why do you go there in the first place?
You can leave that room if you want, but like nobody's telling you it's going to be awesome.
Okay.
So it's really just like you do you at this point. You got here.
What if it is awesome?
Maybe it's awesome. I don't know. You take that risk. You want to leave though? You're like, oh, I made it here. Okay. It's not going to be easy. Okay. But you can do it. So now you're like, oh, wow, I made it here. I want to leave. So now you have to find an 8-digit code that is now hidden in that room with you.
This is an escape room.
It is literally an escape room. You can find it. It's going to be anywhere. You have to search this entire room. Just 8 digits. Once you find that 8-digit code, you have to write it down. And that's why you have the pen and paper, dummy, of course.
Of course. I was wondering when that came into play.
See, I told you it was coming. Now, Lucia Peters, in her book, suggests that you, and I'm with her, she suggests that you memorize that 8-digit code as well as writing it down.
I'm pretty good at memorizing numbers.
And I believe her. I trust her. I think she's right.
Do too.
Trust what she says. Memorize that number. So you keep that number in your brain and also in your pocket, and then you leave the room by holding the cord and the knob together.
Okay.
Make sure it's like touching your hand. You close your eyes and then you visualize that 8-digit number in your brain and you say it over and over in your mind. Not out loud because it has to be quiet. So apparently you will just feel when it's right to open that door. I don't trust my ass here at all.
I do not trust my ass.
I would just want to leave. So I'd be like, feels right. And I would just leave. Like, bye. That would be bye. But alas, when you do feel it, leave the room. You check the rest of the windows in all of the rooms. And if they are not black and they are back to normal, then you are home and you can live with this experience forever.
What?
But if they're black, well, welcome to the consequences of your own actions. Because
the end?
You are stuck in there and you need to figure out a way to get back. If you made it back okay, though.
Congrats.
You're here.
You crazy ass.
What you need to do is you need to burn that piece of paper with the code on it. You have 1 week to do that. You should do it.
They give you a whole week?
ASAP. I think that they must have like a chart somewhere in the netherworld where they're like, ooh, he's due. That's like, they're like, you got 12 hours to get that burned, son. Yeah. So if you have to burn it and then you have to save the ashes from it into a piece of white paper that you wrap them in.
Okay.
And then you have to carry that shit with you forever.
For the rest of my life.
Forever.
So like, if I do this before I get married, that shit's in my wedding pocket?
It is in your wedding pocket.
Wow.
The consequences of your actions are on you forever.
Imagine you're like giving birth and you're like, where's the white paper?
Like, am I in another world? And so you feel like you are when you give birth. So.
Oh my God.
But honestly, like I said, I also implore you to read that book by Lucia Peters because there is a variation on this that involves a black taxi cab that I would like you to go read her book for because
I wanna know.
It's really special.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
It's really special. But that is the black telephone ritual.
And that is our spooky game.
Yeah. If you're feeling like you want to go fly around in another dark world, then that's how you do it,
that's
apparently.
For you, dog.
But those are some more spooky games.
Yes. I love this installment.
I think
the last time we did this, we named it Spooky Games That Will Ruin Your Life. Actual Life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's an accurate title.
And we also wanted to implore y'all.
Yeah.
If you want to like suggest any games that you would want us to cover, because we want to make this like an installment. It's fun.
Oh, yeah. Like make it like a Lighthouses and Spooky Roads and all that. Like put it in there that we can just keep adding on to it.
Yes.
So if you guys have played any of these games that we've talked about,
let us know.
Please tell us about it.
And then we can open up the next installment with what, like a couple of your experiences.
Because remember, now we got 3 episodes starting June 1st. We're going to have 3 episodes a week to work with. So one of those episodes we get to really play around with. So definitely send us in your experiences with these or any suggestions, like Ash was going to say, any suggestions about games that you want to know more about or you've heard of or whatever, and we'll go crazy deep diving into it.
And I would say, so send those to morbidpodcast@gmail.com, and in the subject line, if you can write spooky ass games.
Yeah, spooky ass games.
Yeah. If you don't swear, you can write spooky A star star games.
Yeah. Or just like spooky games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can do that. Awesome.
Guys, it's been real.
It's been fun.
We'll blow out the sage in a second.
But it hasn't been real fun.
It has not. It's been real spooky.
To quote Miranda. Well, we love you guys.
We do.
And we hope you keep listening.
And we hope you
keep
it
weird. But not so weird that you're playing Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board, 3K's Ritual, any of the other ones that Elena talked about where you get to become, maybe play the one where you get to become a samurai because like that sounds cool, but you don't just get to become a samurai. I think you already have to have the experience of like working to become a samurai. And then like, if you're not scared enough, you get to continue to samurai it up. So like maybe play that one, but don't go to a dark nether region or any of that kind of stuff, but definitely keep it so weird that you send us in your emails because I'm really curious if you have any experiences with any of these games. Okay, bye.
Yeah, do that.
I haven't done a good one in a while. Good. That's a funny looking wave.
If you like Morbid, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
What came first, the chicken or the egg? Spoiler alert, it's neither. At Happy Egg, we believe happiness of the hens is what actually came first. Because without happy hens, there would be no such thing as happy eggs. You know, eggs with delicious orange yolks. Those come from hens who are raised the happy way on 8+ acres of family-owned farms. Choose happy at happyegg.com and look for the yellow carton at a store near you.
Happy Egg.